ILL News. Our next report comes this afternoon at 4:30 during All Things Considered.
Programs on WILL are made possible by the Illinois Professional Science Master's programs on the Urbana-Champaign campus, offering graduate degrees that combine science and business, including the program in plant biology. More information is available at 217-265-5363 or on the web at psm.illinois.edu.
Up next, our look at weather as a high-pressure ridge shifts east of the Great Lakes today and low pressure pushes into the plains. A brisk southeast wind will develop and rain showers will track into Iowa and Missouri late this afternoon. In response to the approaching low pressure system, the rain will spread east into Illinois overnight. Enough cold air will be present across the northern third of Illinois for snow or a mix of rain and snow overnight. Any lingering precipitation will change to rain before ending tomorrow morning. High temperatures today will range from the low 40s in northern Indiana to the mid-50s in central Missouri, while lows tonight will drop into the 30s across much of the Midwest. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, sunny with a high in the mid-40s, the wind from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts of 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, this evening, we'll see increasing clouds. Expect occasional showers after midnight. We'll see a low of 35. The wind will be out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, showers are likely tomorrow morning. Expect a high around 48. It will be breezy. The wind will be from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 35. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly cloudy and warm. Look for a high in the low 50s and the wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And the outlook for Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. At noon central time, temperatures range from the upper 30s to the mid 40s across Illinois and Indiana. Most locations reporting a sunny or mostly sunny sky. At Rockford, 38 degrees. At O'Hare, 41. In Bloomington and Mattoon, it was 39 degrees. Carbondale reported a temperature of 45 degrees. At South Bend and Indianapolis, 39 degrees. In Lafayette and Terre Haute, 40 degrees. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 39 degrees. The dew point, 26. The relative humidity, 59%. The wind out of the southeast at 12. The barometric pressure, 30.24 and falling. And at 1240, 39 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. As part of our series of programming on efforts in the region to increase health and wellness among residents of Illinois, we're going to take a look at women and heart health this afternoon. Heart disease is the leading killer in the U.S. It is the leading killer of women. Heart attacks kill 6 times as many women as breast cancer. Despite that, awareness of risk factors is low. Tomorrow evening, Provena Covenant Medical Center in Urbana will offer a free presentation on women's heart health. The latest in Provena's Powerful Living series, the program is tomorrow evening from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Provena Center for Healthy Aging, located at 410 East University Avenue in Champaign. There's no cost to attend, but registration is suggested, and I'll have a number for you later. The information will also be on our website. The featured speaker tomorrow evening, Christie Clinic cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Sabaya Rajaguru, and he also practices at Provena Covenant, and he is my guest this afternoon. Good afternoon, doctor.
Well, hello. Good afternoon.
So how serious a threat is heart disease for women?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, more women die of heart disease than breast cancer, and actually more women than men die of heart disease. So it's probably the number one killer. So that is, if at all, if you look at it, the biggest threat for women's health compared to any other condition that we know of.
Why is public awareness so low?
One is the most of the older trials and everything that were done, both for prevention and treatment, enrolled more men, so most of the results are related to them. And the other reason is most of the women who develop heart disease tend to be older than the men who develop the same problems. And usually by that age, there are other health issues that come into play. So just concentrating on heart health has not been an issue. And third is mainly the education about healthy living, exercise, and all that. That information needs to get out also to the community.
Yeah, I have read that heart disease is a growing problem in women between the ages of 35 and 54.
Yes, and actually for both men and women, the numbers are growing in the younger ages also. But if you look at the global picture, women to some extent are protected until they are in their 50s. And after that, the risk goes up. More men die of heart diseases in the younger ages. But once women hit their mid-50s, their risk is probably as equal to men. And once we all cross 60, actually more women die of heart disease than men. But you're right, the risk of heart disease has increased both for women and men in the younger age groups also.
Do prevention and treatment strategies differ for women as opposed to men?
No, the basic prevention strategies are essentially the same. You know, watching your diet, leading a healthy lifestyle, exercise. If women have diabetes, getting that under very good control, those basic prevention strategies are essentially the same. As you know, previously estrogen was touted in women to be protective for as far as preventing heart disease goes, but then that was disproven a few years ago with the Women Health Study. So different as far as preventing heart disease, the rules are almost the same for men and women as for watching the cholesterol and regular exercise and a healthy diet, and diabetes is probably the biggest risk factor for all of us, men and women both.
So common risk factors include a sedentary lifestyle. Obesity. Stress and that bad cholesterol.
Bad cholesterol, yeah.
If we have all that to deal with, doctor, if I'm coming to see you and I sit down and I say, where do I start?
Well, the other important risk factors that we also have to look at is family history. Along with all the other things that you mentioned, family history is also a very big risk factor. If a male member in a woman's family had heart disease before the age of 50, and a female member in the woman's family had heart disease before the age of 55, that automatically puts them in a high-risk group. That's actually one of the biggest risk factors, opposed to it's probably equally bad as the other risk factors you mentioned. So that's another thing you have to keep in mind also when you're looking at risk stratifying anybody for heart disease.
Yeah, and when we see our physician and we talk about these issues, does the physician, should we talk about how we manage this and how we attack it? Because there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, that's true. It's not one problem that you take care of that's going to eradicate this or control it. It's going to be a holistic approach, looking at the lifestyle, as you mentioned earlier, you know, whether the person is sedentary or more active, and if they are, encouraging them, and maintaining an ideal body weight and watching their cholesterol. And if they have a strong family history, family history is unfortunately nothing that we can change. But if you do have a strong family history, at least hit the other risk factors as aggressively as you can. You know, maintaining all the other things that you mentioned, you know, trying to get regular exercise, keeping the cholesterol down, and avoiding a sedentary lifestyle, and especially diabetics, trying to get the diabetes under good control. We are born with the genes that we are given, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Now, of course, there are cholesterol tests, there are stress tests, but is there a test that can be done that's not invasive, not terribly expensive, that offers a snapshot of the heart?
If there are a couple of things that have come up, as far as a blood test goes, along with a cholesterol test and test for the diabetes, if you have a really strong family history, you can use a test for what we call the non-HDL cholesterol. That's you fractionate the cholesterol out. That helps refine the risk factor profile. And say, imagine somebody had a family member who died. Imagine a woman had a brother who had a heart attack in his 40s, and the father had open heart surgery in his 50s, that automatically is going to put her in a very high-risk group. In those people, what I've done is we can order a special test called a nuclear medicine spectroscopy, where we send the blood to some special labs where they can actually look at the size of the cholesterol particles. As you know, it's not just the bad cholesterol, the type of bad cholesterol, what we call the small dense LDL or the small dense bad cholesterol, which has been proven to be the highest risk for getting heart disease, whereas the large LDL particles are the larger bad cholesterol particles. For some reason, they don't seem to be as bad. So in people with really strong family histories who automatically fall in a high-risk group, that's one thing I have offered to my patients. And it has, if you can use that to risk stratify people, then you can go after these things more aggressively. Now, the stress test that you mentioned, stress test is good as a screening procedure, but most of the heart attacks happen in people who have some blockages in the coronary arteries, but not significant enough that may always show up on a stress test. In those folks, one thing you can do is a coronary artery calcium screening. And again, this is something only for people who have a high-risk profile, especially with family history and all that. If the calcium score in the coronary arteries is high, then that's another parameter we use to risk stratify patients. So that's another thing you can use. And again, these things are not terribly expensive, and they are non-invasive. You just go lay on the table under the scanner, and it takes a picture of your heart.
What are the signs of heart attack for women?
Well, as you know, the classic signs that we've always learned when you listen to the media or even when you go to the first aid classes and all that is the crushing chest pain with sweating and nausea, pain going down the left arm. That is what we call the classic symptoms. But unfortunately, a lot of women don't get those classic symptoms. In some of them, it is just not feeling good, feeling more tired than usual, somewhat very unusual pain symptoms, you know, pain in the back of the neck, pain across the shoulder blades. In some women, it even appears like they have an ulcer pain in the upper part of the stomach. Sometimes it can even be misdiagnosed as a gallbladder problem. So anything that is different out of the ordinary associated with a lot of fatigue and tiredness or trouble with breathing, you have to think about the heart, especially in women. And sometimes there is no pain, no trouble with breathing. It's just a sense of profound weakness. And that's unfortunately the typical symptom in a lot of women. And it's not clear-cut, and that's another reason heart attacks tend to get missed in women.
So what do I do if I have any fear that I'm having a heart attack, I'm having these symptoms?
If you're worried and if you think your symptoms are somewhat atypical, the best thing is to get to the emergency room, the closest emergency room, and tell them this is something totally new and out of the ordinary for you, like just being extremely tired and fatigued, and insist on getting an EKG to begin with.
What role does emotional health play in heart health?
Stress plays a major role, and as you know, anecdotally, you must have heard somebody got a piece of bad news and they basically collapsed and had a heart attack. Day-to-day stress, as you know, increases all the catecholamines, or what we call the adrenaline, noradrenaline type of hormones in your body. It also increases the adrenal steroids, and all of them are, unfortunately, all of these increase the risk of heart attacks. Now, the hormones, the adrenaline type of hormones, do not create a blockage, but if you already have a minor blockage, it can provoke it that it ruptures and forms a blood clot, and that's how most heart attacks happen. So stress does play a big part in triggering a heart attack, but stress did not create the original problem. You originally probably already had a minor blockage, and the stress just made it go bad.
Mm. Besides the lack of awareness, what stands in the way of women taking care of their hearts?
Well,